Would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 1 through 26. I said in my heart, "Come now, I will test you with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. But surely, this also is vanity." I said of laughter, "Madness." And of mirth, "What does it accomplish?" I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine, while guiding my heart with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their lives. I made my looks great. I built myself houses and planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made myself water pools from which to water the growing trees of the grove. I acquired male and female servants, and had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the special treasures of kings and of the provinces. I acquired male and female singers, the delights of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kinds. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done and on the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. Then I turned myself to consider wisdom and madness and folly. For what can man do who succeeds the king? Only what he has already done. Then I saw that wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Yet I myself perceived that the same event happens to them all. So I said in my heart, as it happens to the fool, it also happens to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity. For there is no more remembrance of the wise than of the fool forever, since all that now is will be forgotten in the days to come. And how does a wise man die? As the fool. Therefore I hated life, because the work that was done under the sun was distressing to me, for all is vanity and grasping for the wind. Then I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will rule over all my labor in which I have toiled and in which I have shown myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity. Therefore I turned my heart and despaired of all the labor in which I had toiled under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is with wisdom, knowledge, and skill. Yet he must leave his heritage to a man who has not labored for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what has man for all his labor and for the striving of his heart with which he has toiled under the sun? For all his days are sorrowful and his work burdensome. Even in the night his heart takes no rest. This also is vanity. Nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. For who can eat, or who can have enjoyment more than I? For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. But to the sinner he gives the work of gathering and collecting, that he may give to him who is good before God. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind.
Heavenly Father, we just ask for the next few moments that you would be with us by your Spirit, that you would open our eyes to see and our ears to hear what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, today you get a special treat, and probably a treat we'll see more and more. But Pastor Joel is our youth pastor. He's a man who loves God's Word, and we get to have deep and good discussions about the Word of God. He's a missionary at heart. He's been to more nations than most of us, I believe. And when he heads to a nation, it's to share the gospel. And I think that's his heartbeat. But what he does with youth is different and unique from what other youth pastors in the area would do. So he's got a heart of gold, and this is his first time being up here doing what he's going to do. So if you can encourage Pastor Joel as he comes to the chairs, that would be great.
Sorry, I'm battling a little bit of a cold here. I have a bunch of kids at home that are sick, and so that's the only thing they're good at sharing. So I got to partake of that. Give us a second here. I'm going to set up for what I have here today. Why don't you give a hand for my helpers here? They don't just look good. They can do stuff, too. Joke earlier that the microphone is kind of my security blanket. Pastor Mike gave me the handheld thing. He's like, here, where do you want? Like, I don't know. You know, so I put it on Pastor James kind of stand, and then I forgot to put it on, so I'm just going to use the mic the rest of the day. That's all right with you guys. Alrighty. So, yes, my name is Pastor Joel. I am 37 years old. I have 5 children. The newest one is just a couple weeks old, so life is a little hectic at our house sometimes. But I grew up in this church. I love being a part of this church, and it is a blessing to be able to serve at this church. I will give you a little disclaimer this morning. You're not going to have an experience like you usually do. I don't know if that's good or bad. I'm going to kind of run it like I would you. So we'll see. So, to start this morning, I have a game I want to play, and I have for the people, by a show of hands, so who here feels like they were lacking a little bit in their breakfast this morning? Okay, I would raise my hand. I'll tell you what I had. I had 2 popsicles and a bunch of little lozenges. That's what I had for breakfast, all right? So there were hands going up, so obviously, you know, mornings can be a little bit hectic. So today, if you missed out on your breakfast, I would like to invite you to play this game. Okay, the prize for the game is you get to come up here. I have coffee and donuts and orange juice, and you just get to come up here and eat all you want and hang out with whoever's up here, all right, for like 5 minutes when we go through the game, all right? Now, I need like 6 people to play. Do I have some hands? All right. I don't know your names. You gotta forgive me. All right. Ollie, I'll take you. Who's way in the back? Who's way in the back? Yes, sir. I don't know your name, but I'll have you come up. Who else? Yes, ma'am. All right, I got 3. Where are you pointing at? Just send her up because I can't see from here. All right. That's 4. Who else? 3, 4. Be a little partial today. I'll take my brother because he showed up unexpectedly. That was kind of nice. Yep. So here's the deal. Actually, you guys can come down here. You'll be playing. You'll be starting the game down here, and I'll explain it real quick. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I got room for 1 more. Is there 1 more hungry person that really likes donuts? Michael, your mom's raising. I'm surprised Michael's not raising his hand, but yes, you can go. Michael's mom raising his hand. All right, so I'm going to have you guys go down the line and tell everyone your name, because I might not know them and everyone else may not. So,
Holly Server. Connie Schott.
Martin DeMarco.
Margaret
Bunsen.
Stephanie Clint-Carter.
Jacob Izaki, the game's rigged.
Bonnie Murphy.
All right, thank you all. So, here's how the game goes. What we have there is we're going to call it, for all intents and purposes this morning, we're going to call it our little example of paradise, okay? So, if you make it through the door, You get to go into paradise, okay? Bear with me. This is morning. Donuts and coffee. It's good. All right? If you make it through the door, that's all you have to do is make it through the door. You get to paradise. You can stay there and enjoy everything that's in there, right? The one thing, though, is you have to know how to get through the door. Okay? So to get through the door, you have to bring something with you. Okay? Now, I'm going to be the gatekeeper on the door, okay? You're going to come to me, and I'm going to say, Holly, what are you bringing? What are you bringing through the door? And Holly's going to say,
bringing into paradise?
Yeah, you have to bring something to get through, right? It's not, you don't just make yourself, you have to come with something. So what would you bring? One thing.
You're right. Let's see. Is this an object or?
Yeah, like an object, anything. But you have to bring something. No, you have to bring something. So we're gonna play this game until it's so like 4 minutes, so like up until 1 minute before 10. All right, so
money.
Money. Oh, I'm sorry, you can't come. All right, so that's how it's gonna go, all right? So I want you guys, and to get a little more visual, I want you guys to form a line. Okay, form a line as if you're waiting to get through this gate and you're coming into the door. So everyone form a line, kind of going up the steps here. So you know you're not out, you just go to the back of the line. So it's a time game, all right? So Connie, come on up. Everyone can kind of, you know, follow the next person up. All right, so Connie, what are you going to bring?
Myself.
Sorry, you have to go to the end of the line. Yes, sir.
I bring my soul.
I'm sorry, no, that's not going to work. Gonna bring some love, but that won't get you in. Sorry, back of the line. All right, Stephanie, what are you gonna bring?
Is this like a trick question?
You're asking me. I'm asking you the questions. What are you gonna bring?
Shoes.
Shoes. I'm sorry. End of the line. That's a good guess, though. All right.
A nanny for your kids.
A nanny. He's gonna bring a nanny. You can come. All right, you made it through. You brought a nanny. All right, come on. Second chance. Or no, this is your first chance.
Cough drops for you.
Cough drops. No, sorry, end of line. All right. Try again, Holly.
I am going to bring another nanny for your kids.
Another nanny. Well, we like that, but you're not gonna let you double. Sorry. Back on. You can go ahead and start eating. Nope, sorry, that won't get you in today. All right, keep on going here.
My children.
Your children. Nope, sorry. Margaret. Jesus? Nope, I'm sorry. You guys are thinking, you're just not hitting the right, thing. All right, Stephanie.
Like what though? Like.
I'm asking the questions. You just tell me what you're bringing. Your dog? No, I'm sorry, you can't get in with your dog. Bonnie.
Sorry, Michael's mom. I'm bringing Michael.
Nope, sorry, I don't understand. All right, I'll give you a hint here. It has to do with the title here. Okay, so there's a game called Green Glass Doors, and it's a game we used to play before the advent of cell phones and things like that, when you had to think of things to do on a car ride or on a trip, stuff like that. Okay. So he got in with a nanny, okay? What are you going to bring?
My dog.
Someone already tried that. Sorry, no, not your dog. Yep, sorry. Your dog won't work either. All right. Man, I thought more people would be getting through. All right. Connie, because she teaches my kids and I like her so much, I'm going to let you through. And all you have to bring is a noodle. All right, you get through. She brought a noodle, and so she's through. All right, so a nanny and a noodle both got you through. Anyone else? Any tries?
Windex, the glass bowl. Windex.
Windex, no, sorry. All right. A nanny and a noodle got you through, all right? Margaret.
Water,
no, I'm sorry, it won't work. Stephanie.
Toy?
No, I'm sorry, that won't work either.
nice smile.
No, I get where you're going there, but that's not the thing. All right, good try, good try. Okay.
Vacuum cleaner.
Yes, you can come in a vacuum cleaner. That'll get you in. All right. A noodle, a vacuum cleaner, and a nanny. I'll get you into paradise this morning. All right.
A lawnmower?
See, the wheels are turning like that. They're thinking.
A canopy.
Canopy? No, I'm sorry. Those are good things, but they just won't get you in. Does anyone in the audience think they could help them? Okay, so if you guys see someone in the audience, if you think you can help them, raise your hand. And if you see someone in the audience that can help you, go and ask them what they think could get you in.
Laundry soap.
No, I'm sorry. Anyone else? And does anyone from the audience say, like, I just want to go in? If you're in the audience and you think you got it, you can come and tell me and you can go in, even if you're not a volunteer. Yes, the baseball would get you in. You have to come up and get it. You can take her idea. Oh, no, she's taking her own idea. I'm sorry. It's okay if he takes your idea. All right, come in with the baseball. He's in with the baseball. Go enjoy. All right? Margaret, what do you got? I'll play for a couple more minutes because I don't want to be stingy here.
Eileen.
Eileen, how do you spell your name? Okay, you can go in. You can bring Eileen, you can get in. Stephanie?
Shampoo?
Shampoo will get you in. Connie? I'll start with Connie. Not Connie. Kids, sick, all that stuff. Okay, so far we had shampoo, a baseball, a nanny, a noodle, Eileen. You're going to bring a pattern? Okay, you can go in. She can bring a pattern. She's going to bring a pattern. She got in. All right. All right, go ahead and everyone fill yourself up there. All right. And while they're eating there, I'll let you guys eat for a couple more minutes, and then we'll kick you off the stage here. Okay? So this morning we played a game, and the object of the game was for them to get into paradise. Well, that's not a great representation of paradise, right? But it's a good thing. It's better than what they had before, right? And to get there, they had to go through the door, and they had to know kind of how to go through the door. Okay, it's a fun game to play. It's a good icebreaker. Okay, so this morning I want to talk a little bit more about that, about paradise. Okay, this idea of paradise. A lot of people have a lot of different ideas of paradise. What happens when we die? What will heaven be like? Now, I'm going to use the word paradise this morning because. I think it's a little more succinct rather than saying heaven. When we say heaven, you could mean heaven with all the stars. You could mean the place that we go for a while after we die, which I don't think we stay there eternally. Okay, so when we say paradise, I'm picturing that to be, that's the place where we stay with God forever. Okay, that's the place he's preparing for us, or he will have for us. So I want to talk about paradise. Is anyone in here, would you be so bold as to tell me or shout out, What are some of the things that you think heaven, paradise would be like? What will be there in paradise? Jesus, fishing, yeah, what else? What was that? Sunshine, yeah, we would like that here. Anyone else? I heard fullness of joy, what else? A golf course, all right, says golf course, anyone else? Puppies, all right. She even said puppies and not dogs, yeah, that's good, okay. So, lots of food. Good, good. Okay. So we have a lot of ideas about what paradise is going to be like. Now, for me, when I think about paradise, I don't think that it's going to be like the sky, or that it's even necessarily going to be like all these things that I want necessarily, right? So like the golf course, although I'm a horrible golfer, right? I would want just a bed I can take naps in. That would be it for me, right? But I don't think that paradise is necessarily us getting all the things that we desire and all the things we want. The reason I think that is I think we are given a foreshadow of what paradise is really going to be in the story of Genesis. So in the story of creation, when God goes to when he creates the heavens and the earth, okay, he gives us everything, everything that we need, not so much for ourselves, but everything that we need in a place to have perfect interaction with each other. Okay, so, and you may say, well, Joel, that's, you know, you may think that, but I don't think that. All right, and I'll tell you why I think that. Because when I study the Bible, when I go through it, I believe the Bible works a whole lot in shadows, okay? The Bible gives us shadows of things to come. I'll give you a free example here. It really doesn't have any bearing on what we're talking about, but it's a fun example, okay? So, in the Hebrew mindset, the Jewish mindset, I'll ask Gary, because you know. All right, Gary, what does Moses represent? Okay? Well, someone else said it over here, I heard it. The law, okay? So Moses is representative of the law. We see that in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament, when Jesus is transfigured, it says the law and the prophets, they're witnesses of him, okay? So Moses is representative of the law. Okay, Moses, we all know Moses, he led the children of Israel out of bondage, right up to the promised land, right? And God gave the law to Moses. The interesting thing is, Moses never got to go into the promised land, okay? And I'm going to give you another bit of information here. I'm sure we all call Jesus by the name that we most commonly know him by, which is Jesus. But Jesus has a lot of different names in a lot of different languages. And actually, Pastor Mike, I don't know if you knew it or not, named one of his sons after Jesus. It wasn't Jordan, it was Joshua, okay? So Joshua in Hebrew is Yeshua. So the word we have for Jesus we don't take it from a Hebrew translation, okay? But Jesus' name in his day, what people would call him, was Yeshua, okay? So Jesus and Joshua, now I want to share something really cool here. I believe that Moses served his purpose. Now you say, well, he died before he got to enter the promised land, and it's really unfair because he only didn't get to do it because he stuck the rock twice, right? I don't think Moses was ever supposed to enter the promised land. And I think this is a shadow. You see, Moses represents the law. And the law was never meant to get us into the promised land. And then we have Joshua, who actually takes the children into the promised land. Joshua is a forerunner. He's a foreshadow of Christ, of Jesus. It is Jesus who takes us into that promised land. Okay, so all this is just to say that I feel justified in saying that the Garden of Eden is a foreshadow of paradise, of what's to come. Okay? So I'm going to start there. So are you guys full? You good? All right, let's give them a round of applause. You guys can go back to your seats. Thank you so much. They did really good. I thought they would, I thought people would start getting it faster than they did, so it was interesting. But, I mean, how are you doing, you know? So, all right, so we're going to go back to, so I'm talking about paradise, and I want to talk about Solomon. So Solomon was the wealthiest and the wisest king, he said, that was in his time, possibly ever was, dependent on who you read, okay? And he says, Solomon said, I said in my heart, come now, and I will test you with mirth, which means gladness. Therefore, enjoy pleasure, but surely this is also vanity. Instead of laughter, madness, and of mirth, what does it accomplish? I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine, while guiding my heart with wisdom, how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their lives. I made my works great. I built myself houses. I planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards. And I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made myself water pools from which to water the growing trees of the grove. I acquired male and female servants and had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the special treasures of kings of all the provinces. I acquired male and female singers, the delight of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kinds. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold from my heart any pleasure, for my heart had rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. Okay, I have another question, and I think we have some donuts left. So if a donut is what you want for your prize, there's four donuts left. I have another question. So who gets this right? Can anyone tell me, in those verses, what was the common theme? So in that group of scripture, there's a common theme running through there, especially with what Solomon's doing. Vanity, you want to know what that is? That's good. That is a common theme, but not the one I'm looking for. Okay, someone said works. Self is a good one, too. Okay, works is closer. All right. Debbie, I'm going to give it to you, but only for the first part I heard. So worldly possessions, stuff. In this whole thing, yes, and you guys all gave good answers. Yes, it was about himself. Yes, it was about his works. And as you read through the rest of Ecclesiastes, he's very much concerned about his stuff. Okay, he says, I built myself houses and planted vineyards and gardens and orchards, and there were trees and I made pools, and I had servants born to me, like my investments like multiplying, right? I had greater possessions of herds and flocks, okay? So Solomon was continually pursuing every avenue of possession and entertainment and achievement, okay? And everything he could do to try and fulfill this idea. Like I know he wanted to be happy just like the rest of us. Yeah, when I read this, I see him. And yes, his position was different. Like he was the wealthiest, he was the wisest, he had everything at his fingertips, right? But his position was different than mine. So like common day, that would be like I think George Soros is he the most wealthy man on earth? Anyone know? What? Bezos? Okay. Right, yeah, well, they're all my friends, so I shouldn't know. So I don't have that kind of wealth. I don't have those kind of opportunities and things like that. That would be the equivalent of this day. You know, Solomon was at the top. He could do whatever he wanted. There were no holes in his pockets. He had deep pockets. Okay, so his position was different than everyone else. However, I would like to say his condition was very much the same. Okay? Now he goes through and he says, you know, what does it gain me? Because even to be wise, you know, the fool dies the same as the wise. Now, I want to talk more about this human condition. Now, no matter who we are, whether we're rich or poor, whether we're in good health or sickness, or we're old or we're young, whether we're in this country or another, I believe all of humanity shares in the same human condition. We're kind of all, I believe we're created with the same desires. It's just different in the way that we might go about trying to fulfill those desires, okay? Now, I know for many of you, and for me especially too, the weather's pretty bad right now, isn't it? I mean, you think spring's going to come? And then we just got snow last night, and then I heard another blizzard. I'm sure, well, I didn't hear it. Okay, but I'm sure another blizzard will come before spring comes again, right? But who here likes to go on vacation? Yeah, I like to go on vacation. All right, now, my vacations may look a little different than yours, and yours might look different than mine, but they're enjoyable. For the most part, who would say their vacations are enjoyable? We kind of plan them to be that way, right? I don't plan my vacation to go work in a diaper factory, right? Because that wouldn't be enjoyable for me. And sometimes I feel like I live in a diaper factory, but that's a different story. So one of our pastors just got back, actually, from vacation, Pastor James. Pastor James is going to come on up, and I would like to, you know, because I love you guys so much, I didn't clear this with the church board, but I'm sure we'll be okay with it. But we're going to take you guys all on vacation because we love you so much. Every single person in here, you're going to come on vacation with us.
Okay.
All right. But here's how it works. You guys, okay, we can't afford to pay for you. Okay, but Pastor James, he's a wordsmith, and he's fresh off coming from vacation. Yep. So I asked him if he would take us on a vacation. All right, so everyone, we're going to use our imaginations this morning. So everyone, I want you to close your eyes.
And to be clear, this is not the vacation I just took.
How do we know?
Because I scour the internet for hours, finding the cheapest deals.
All right.
We're not going to cheap out on you. That's the thing. We're not going to cheap out. I'm going to make sure it is the best.
If Pastor James, if what he says isn't good enough, I will tell him to make it better. That's how much I love you guys. All right. So everyone, close your eyes. Close your eyes, and Pastor James, take us on this vacation. What's the first step?
The first step is we have to go get some new luggage.
Okay. New luggage. What kind of luggage?
Well, if we're gonna take a nice vacation, I think we're gonna need to head probably down to Chicago and pick up some Louis Vuitton luggage.
Okay. If you guys like that stuff, that's what we're gonna get.
Yep.
Okay.
Then I'm gonna come home.
Okay.
I'm gonna pack those bags up.
I don't want to pack my bags.
You're right. We're gonna hire somebody to come over.
All right, that's good.
And pack our bags.
All right, awesome. All right.
And we're going to get well rested. We'll probably do a spa treatment the day before vacation.
Actually, can we go down there? Can we go wherever we're going in a ship that has a spa? So I can just stay in the spa the whole time?
We certainly can.
Okay,
we need a pre-vacation spa.
Yeah. I have to get ready for the vacation.
We do.
Right.
You got to get in the right mindset.
Right.
So rather than just drive ourselves all the way over to Austin Straubel Airport,
uh-huh.
I figure we call ourselves a limo to come pick us up in the morning.
That's good.
Okay. So we'll get there, we'll hire somebody to bring our bags and get us checked in.
Mm-hmm.
We are, of course, flying first class.
Okay, that's good.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
We're going to get on that plane. We're taking a direct route.
That's right, good.
Right down to the south side of the Bahamas, where it's always warm.
Oh, perfect. I like that. I've never been there, but I want to go there.
Me neither, but it sounds wonderful.
I heard you went there last week.
No, that was California. Okay. And we're going to be on the beach.
Okay.
So we've got a beautiful oceanfront. Four bedroom.
I'll make it better. Four's
six bedroom.
More better. Come on.
Ten bedroom right. condominium.
That's right.
On the beach.
That's right. Two rooms for every kid I have. All right.
Endless pool.
Okay.
With a hot tub.
All right, hot tub.
In each room.
All right. Oh, yes.
Okay.
I don't want to share a hot tub with anyone.
No. We're talking 3,800 square feet of luxury
per
on
room.
The sugar white sand
it's
beach.
Per room, right? It's per room.
It can be.
All right, awesome. Perfect.
Why stop there?
Because I love you guys. I want to make sure you get the best. All
That's
right.
right.
All right, what else? So what are we going to do when we get there?
Well, we're going to eat.
Okay. What are we going
to eat? Well, we have to consult with our chef.
Mm-hmm. Everyone has their own personal chef, right?
They do.
Okay.
In the mansion, in the condo, we've got our own chef.
Okay, good.
So what we do is we get there and we put in our special order for all the kinds of foods we like.
Oh, I like that.
You know, salmon,
uh-huh.
burgers,
right.
tacos.
Right.
Krispy Kremes.
That's right. They got
whatever.
Okay. I like that.
They bring it all in.
All right. So what are we going to do there when we're there? What kind of things?
Mostly relax.
Okay. Mostly relax. But sometimes I like to have fun.
Okay. We've got some custom excursions ready to go.
Oh, okay.
We can go parasailing.
Okay. Parasailing.
We can go boating on the catamaran.
Okay.
Okay. We can take horseback trips down the beach.
Okay.
You and your wife.
Okay. Those horses fly.
They could.
We're going to make it better horses with jetpacks. You can take a horse drive.
They could also be unicorns. It's
all right.
possible. Okay.
All right.
We've got people your kids.
That's awesome. I want to swim with dolphins. Can I do that?
You can not only swim with dolphins.
Will they sing to me?
Dolphins sing in three-part harmony.
Good. As I swim with them, that's what I want.
All your favorite songs.
Okay.
They know them.
I like it. All right, now who's going to be there? I mean, I know I'm going to be there, and you guys are going to be there, but who else?
Nobody.
No one else is going to be there?
We don't want anybody else
Make
there.
Make it better. I want some like rich and famous people or people that I,
okay.
that I, you know, I want to rub shoulders with.
All of the Hollywood elite.
Okay. I don't know any of them, but let's invite them.
All the people of influence. Jeff Bezos, as you mentioned before.
Yeah, my best friend.
Okay. Other people that you love and respect.
Okay, like musicians. I like musicians. I don't know about, you know, Hollywood stars, but I like musicians.
You like musicians?
Yeah.
What musicians?
I don't know.
Corey Asbury?
I don't even know who that is.
Reckless Love Writer?
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, you do. You know that guy. No, you do. You know him.
I have other embarrassing things that I know, but that's not one of them.
Ed Sheeran? Would you like Ed Sheeran to be there?
Sure. Why not?
He can.
Yeah, okay.
He can play his guitar on the beach.
Awesome. Yeah, that's what I... Yeah.
Would you like Willie Nelson there?
Yeah,
I thought you would.
All right.
He's there, too. He's ready to go.
Are you trying to say something about
him? I just thought you liked Willie Nelson.
Okay, all right.
A lot of people like Willie Nelson.
All right, right.
And the Gaithers are there.
Okay.
For the church.
You guys
for the church.
There you go.
The Gaithers are there.
All right, good. So that's pretty much it. I mean, and is it, the other question I have is, does it have an end? Like, how long is it?
It's 3 months.
It's 3 months. I want it better.
It's 1 year.
Okay, can you
sell your house and make it 2 years for us?
I'd be happy to.
All right, awesome. All right. So for 2 years, we're on vacation, all right?
Yeah.
Good. All right. All right. Everyone give Pastor James a round of applause. Now, it started out a little normal and got to the ridiculous real quick. Okay? But how many of you, if that was real, you would want to go? I would want to go. All right? So some of the things that might have changed, and I embellished a little bit, but I would want to go, okay? Sometimes, it's funny because, you know, you say, well, that's ridiculous. That would never happen, right? People would know that that's not real. But sometimes, because of our human condition, because of that condition that King Solomon has, and the condition that we have, and I'm going to call it, it's like this condition that we always want to get to the perfect day that you wish would never end, right? Has anyone ever had those? I know I've had them in my life, and sometimes I plan them. Sometimes they come about by circumstances that are beyond me. And I look back at them, and I'm like, wow, that time was almost magical. Like, I wish I could live that day into eternity forever, and I wouldn't have to be doing what I'm doing, right? So I think in big part, that is a part of our human condition. Okay, we are constantly, I think, and God makes us that way, but we are constantly in search of that perfect day that we wish would never end. And I'm going to add to it, in paradise. Okay, because I think that's what we were taken from, right, when God made us. I think that was the environment He originally made us in, was this perfect place where all our needs are taken care of. Not only our physical needs, but spiritually and emotionally. Like, they're... I'm going to get there in a little bit. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But so this sounds ridiculous, right? You say, well, this could never happen, right? No one will believe that. Has anyone ever heard of the Fyre Festival? Okay, a couple of you. And if you have, you're chuckling about it, okay? My wife showed me a documentary. We watched it together. In 2017, there was a young entrepreneur that produced this idea to have this amazing festival down in the Bahamas, and they're going to have all these musicians and all these elite people down there, and you could buy a ticket there, okay, and you could spend this weekend with them, and the sell was, you know, it's going to be something like, you know, nothing like this has ever been done before. And so for some of us, we'd be like, yeah, that's ridiculous, that's not going to happen. But some people are like, oh no, I'm going. Oh, it is so real, and it's going to be so great. Some of the things they promised, one of the things is you could buy a bungalow that had dolphins, like it was called the Dolphin Bungalow, but you pay $25,000, and you get to stay in this bungalow that has, like, dolphins swimming underneath it, right? And they had all these other things that, like, you look and you're like, there's no way, right? But they just kept making up stuff, right? And people, a lot of people didn't catch on, so lots of people bought tickets and flew down to this place in the Bahamas. There was nothing like they said. And this guy conned people basically out of the money. All right, but my point is that as outlandish as it seemed, a lot of people bought in. And why did they buy in? I wouldn't say because they're dumb, because they're stupid. I would say it's part of that human condition that we have that I think goes back to paradise, that goes back to the Garden of Eden, that says, I want to be in that place. I want to have that day. You know, I want to have that day where I went to the beach with my family, and it was so weird. We went swimming, and then we caught fish, and then I was tired, and I took a nap, and I ate all this nice food. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be extravagant, but it's in that time, you know what it feels like to be satisfied, right? We all do. So as humans, I think we all have that, okay? Now I want to go back to Solomon. I mentioned earlier that I think this is what he was looking for. And I think it's interesting because as I read it, it almost looks to me. Now, this is a man that has all the wealth in the world, and he's got all the opportunity, right? He's the best, wisest, richest king, right? I think he was almost trying to recreate the Garden of Eden. Read it. It says, I made my works great. I built myself houses and planted myself vineyards, made myself gardens and orchards and all kinds of fruit trees, made myself water pools from which to water the growing fruit trees. And he goes on to say, I got singers and I got musical instruments. He's in my mind, he's trying to create this utopia again. And I think it's because of this condition that I want to live in the perfect day. And we all have that, right? Whether you're a believer or not, and especially if you're not a believer, it gets a little worse. Because as a believer, we believe and we know that that's coming, right? We don't think that we have to do so much to get there. We know that's going to come, but when you're not a believer, so these people that go down to the Fyre Festival, and I saw some of the videos, and
ashamed to say that I was laughing at these people. And I'm like, oh, you deserve to get what you got, and you paid 25. I'm like, you have 25 grand to spend on that. You deserve to get half a sandwich and sleep in a peanut's head. You know, that was the circumstance that came down. No, that's not the best for me, especially, to be feeling right. But we can't get angry. We can't look at people and say, how do you not know? How do you, why are you doing this? Don't you get it? Like, that's totally the thing. It's because I think we have this desire that kind of overpowers and overrides some of our capacities to think about things sometimes. Okay, so Solomon, after this, he spends the rest of the chapter fretting about all his stuff, fretting about his kingdom. Who's going to get it? Right? He says, oh, and it's a horrible thing because I'm a wise guy and I built all this stuff, and when I die, someone else is going to get it. And he might be wise and he might be a fool. Right? But he is constantly fretting about all his things. Okay? I want to ask you guys, how many things do you think God gave Adam and Eve when he created them in the Garden of Eden? How many things did he give them? Everything but one. Okay, I would say nothing. Big fat zero. Okay? Because when I look at it, and when I say give you things, it wasn't like God was like, here, Adam, this is yours. Eve, this is, you know, it wasn't like Eve is created and Adam goes, hey, you weren't here for this, but God said I get all the fruit trees and you get the vegetables. Sorry, that's the way it goes. You know, I'll share with you sometimes if you're nice to me. Okay, I don't think God was like, these are your possessions, but he created that place that provided for all of them. The other reason I don't think that is this was before sin, okay? So without sin, you don't have selfishness. There's no fear of a lack of anything. Like that idea that there was going to be a lack and then I have to keep things for myself wasn't even in their head. Okay, it was this perfect place. And the idea of sharing, like, you wouldn't want to share. You wouldn't want to keep it to yourself because you're interacting with God and he's interacting with his wife in this perfect place of perfect love. Right? And they are living in the day that they hope never ends, in paradise. Okay? And I think that's what God made for us. Now, the Bible also says, and this is another part of why I think this is imprinted on all of us. The Bible says that eternity is written on man's heart. Okay, now, I don't only think that it applies to, yes, we're cognizant of, like, we have all these questions, like, what happens after you die? Where do you go? You know, and then all these religions, all these beliefs pop up because you got to answer that question. Right, but I also think that this idea that, like, I want to live in perfect day that never ends in paradise, right? I think that's ingrained in us, and I think that speaks to eternity being written on the hearts of men, and that is speaking to God's idea of what eternity is going to be, right? Not ours. God's idea of what paradise is, okay? Where he wants us to go, where we should want to go. All right? Now, Solomon, am I okay for time already? No. It says 10:30 back there. I'm sure that's not right, so probably closer to 11:30. All right, so I'm going to wrap this up real quick. Well, somewhat quick. All right, so we got to go back to Solomon. Okay, so Solomon, with the rest of humanity, okay, he's not special. He's special in his position, but not in his condition. All right, I think we're all in the same condition. All right, so Solomon, he is trying to do, he's constantly trying to experience anything he can or gather anything he can to bring him to this place, right? You know what that feels like when you're in that moment, or even in your memory, and you're like, I love that moment. I want to live there forever. I want to be in that moment forever, right? Because it was so good. Solomon's trying to get there, right? We're trying to get there. Thing is he was, you know, he was one of the most powerful men of his day. He built these, you know, he built cities, he built orchards, he built, I'm sure he built what's close to a utopia. But none of that got him in. You know what got him in? Well, you know what gets, and that none of that gets us in, right? So, in this day and age, the people that are going to the Fyre Festival, and you're like, well, why would you even put your hope in that, right? Because they don't know what they should put their hope in. Right? So people, they work all their lives, and they mask what they think is security. Right? But it's only security for this life, and they didn't want to even stay. Right? Thing is, you can't build your way there. You can't bribe God. You can't say I was good enough. None of that stuff. You know what it takes. All it takes to be paradise is to walk through the door. In John 10:9, it says, I am the door. It says, all who enter through me will be saved.
So that's what I want to leave with you guys with today. When I read through Ecclesiastes, I think it is not, it's not things we should do. I think it is, Ecclesiastes is inspired by the Spirit of God. The Word is inspired, but not what Solomon was doing. He is just giving us a representation of the fact, and I think that God made him the richest and the wisest for a reason, to show us that even if we were at the top and we had everything, everything else we would do would not get us into paradise, right? We enter paradise through that door, through Christ, much like our game. I don't know if you caught it, and it's funny because it's in the name. It's an old game. I didn't come up with it. It's just one I remember. But it's called Green Glass Doors. Okay, the hint is in the name. How you get through is you have to bring something that has two letters in it that follow each other, okay? So a noodle has two O's in it, right? A vacuum cleaner has two U's, right? That's the key. That's how you get through the door, right? So now when we go to paradise, that day that we're going to wish never ends, right? That us, not only us, everyone else in the entire world is built with that desire and that drive to find out what that is, right? We know where the door is even. We even know how to walk through, right? And that's good for us. But the challenge for us is to let other people know about that door and to let them know the password, right? Because you saw even just to have donuts and coffee and some orange juice, people were like, I don't know what the password is. Someone tell me. Will you tell me what it is? He said a poodle or a noodle, and I don't get it. You know, I bring you money, but it doesn't get me in. Right? Think of that fervor that people have living their lives. Right? They're lost. They don't know how to get in, and they don't know what's going to get them in. Their password, and the password for them is not money. It's not fame. It's not even good works. Right? It's faith in Christ. It is the name of Jesus, and that's the only name that's going to get you through that door and into paradise. And I think, so as we close the study on the book of Ecclesiastes, the second chapter, I want you guys to take that away, that I think it is a picture of someone that's given all the opportunities, right? And nothing he could do with all the worldly, earthly opportunities could get him through that door, right? And nothing anyone else can do can get them through that door into paradise. And we know how to get through that door. But the challenge for us is we go and we share that with people. And instead of me saying, you deserve to get what you got because you paid $25,000 and you had it, I should say, man, I'm kind of still chuckling because you got a lot of money, right? But man, like, I know what you're feeling because I want to be there too, only I know how to get there, right? Let me tell you a little bit about Christ. Let me tell you about that door that gets you into that perfect day that will never end in paradise. Right, that's what I want to leave you guys with. You know, we have a blessing that we know this, but also I think a challenge. This is what we learned. This is what I learned from reading through the second book of Ecclesiastes. So I am going to pray, and then you guys are going to be dismissed. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, God. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the people that have gone before us. God, we thank you that if we believe in Christ, God, if we have faith on you, God, that we will enter into eternity, into paradise, God, into that perfect place you have for us with you and with others, God, and it will be without sin, God. We'll be able to interact and live in perfect love, God. And I ask for each one of us, God, that you would burn within us a desire to share that with others, God. The people that we know that don't know how to get there, God, but they want to go there so desperately, God. God, I ask that you would imprint that desire on our hearts, God, to have compassion on them, God. God, that you would give us the words to speak to them, God, and that we would go out of our way, God, that we would get in uncomfortable conversations and situations, God, that we might share that with them, God. We might share that hope with them. God, we give you the rest of this day, and we bless you and we praise your name. In Jesus' name.